Eat your way to success. Everything that you consume, your diet, your healthy eating plan affects everything in your life, from how well you do, your happiness levels, your health, your fitness, your recovery, your gains in training, even your wealth, your job happiness, your sleep happiness, your relationship happiness. So if you want to know how to improve that and how to get on top of it all, please listen on.
Welcome to the Success Sensei Podcast for anyone interested in success, happiness, and balance. We'll teach you how to be a black belt at life. And now, your host, former professional fighter, multiple world champion, entrepreneur, and investor, Robert Devan.
Bowing in. This is Roundhouse Rob, the Success Sensei, helping you to win at life one kick and punch at a time. And today I'm talking about diet, healthy eating, but this one's entitled Eat Your Way to Success. Eat Your Way to Success. What the hell does that even mean? Well, it basically means that what we eat and our diet plan affects absolutely everything in life. If you want to be successful, you're going to have to eat right. If you're going to be successful, you have to know the food to consume and you have to consume it right. Not just the right food to eat, but at the right times to eat it, in the right amounts to eat it at, and on a consistent long-term basis. So food affects everything. We are chemical beings, and when we consume food, there's chemical reactions to that as well. So it affects our happiness levels. All your hormones, everything, all your happiness, everything can be linked to food. Your emotions can be linked to food. It's not just a physiological thing. Everyone thinks that food, you know, protein builds muscle fibers, and it does. It's all interlinked, but it's absolutely everything. It's our confidence. It's our sleep. If your diet is really bad, you're not going to be sleeping right. There's a lot of people going to be listening to this now, and your sleeping patterns are all over the place. And it's because your diet, because you're eating late, or you're not eating the right things, your body is struggling with digestion. It will affect your happiness levels. It will affect your motivational levels. It will affect definitely your confidence, which ultimately affects everything. It affects your work, affects your training, affects your relationships. Diet is such a huge emotional subject, and it's not possible to talk about diet and what you eat with a lot of people because of that. If you've ever tried and you've ever gotten in any debates about food, you know exactly what I mean. So we're going to keep this really, really simple. We're going to go back to basics. There's so much confusion. There's so many diets. What diets are out there? I don't know. I've probably tried all of them at one stage or another. There's paleo, there's Atkins, there's Slimming World, there's Weight Watchers. There was a nasty soup diet that I did for a while that was absolutely horrible. It was great for cutting weight. There was, what else is there? God, there's the paleo. There's the low carbs. Did I say Atkins? High fats, high proteins. There's any of the Hollywood diet. There's any number of diets every year. There's new diets brought out. There's new fads. Everyone jumps on the bandwagon. And you know what really works is the basics. You'll go back to your basics. You'll spend your money. You'll buy the book. You'll get all the products in. You'll buy whatever juicers and whatever bits of material, Nutribullets or whatever. And I'm not saying that all that is bad, but how many times have you got this stuff and it hasn't actually worked for you? I've been involved in a sport that I've always had to make weight. Weight regulations were a huge part. And only when I was putting together a couple of points for, even though I'm going to go way off on my points, when I was putting together a few points for this particular podcast, I realized that I've actually been competing at the same weight category or categories, the same weights basically since I was a teenager to my late 30s. I was in and around competing, and whether it was karate, kickboxing or MMA, I consistently competed at the same weight category. Did I walk around at the weight that I competed at? Hell no, I did not walk around at the weight I competed at. I probably walked around at another, I don't know, 20 pounds. If I was out of shape, 20 pounds I'd have to lose just to get to my competitive weight. Sometimes less, sometimes, if I'm telling the truth, maybe a little bit more. So weight and weight management was always something that was very, very important to my sport and my sporting life, my whole sporting career. I had to make my weight. Whether it was minus 84 kilos was generally my weight, which was hard enough for me when I could easily walk around at 90 or 95 kilos. So weight is something that I've always had to deal with, not necessarily struggle with, but it's always kind of a struggle. I remember getting ready for some competitions and getting ready for some professional MMA fights and being more concerned about the actual making of the weight than the actual fight. So I'd actually be more nervous about trying to get my body to the proper weight so I wouldn't embarrass my coaches or embarrass myself or embarrass my friends that were coming along to support the fight by not actually making the weight. I would be more nervous about that than I would about my opponent, who obviously wanted to do as much harm to me as possible in the sporting sense. I would be more concerned and consumed with the actual weight, and I would be more excited about eating after making the weight than I would be about the fight or after the fight. I would be that starving and that hungry. So even from a fitness point of view, I've been involved in fitness and coaching and personal training and coaching MMA, kickboxing, karate for over 20, 25 years. It's hard to tell at this stage. I don't think I want to count up the years, but I've been involved in it for a long time, and I've trained people in healthy eating, obviously, and I myself, besides the actual competing. I wasn't competing every month, so I mean, I'd like to keep myself fit and I'd like to eat the right things. And I would always, like everybody, I've tried a lot of things. A lot of things have been popular. I've tried a lot of things throughout the years. But I always go back to the basics. And the basics are really basic. But I am very surprised on a regular basis about the amount of clients and students I have that actually don't have any basis to start. And that's fine. If you lack of information, that's no problem at all. You can get that information. And a lot of people can really, really struggle. The motivational side of things as well, and the confusion of all of these products to try and to be thinking about and in their mind, and basically setting yourself up for failure. Regarding diet, though, and just to prove how important it is, if you had two sprinters, absolutely identical in every way, they were cloned in a laboratory, the two of them are identical, but one has a healthy, proper diet, and the other one is living on junk food. Who would you put your money on a long term, on a consistent basis? Who do you think is going to win on a consistent basis? Obviously, the person with the better diet has the better statistics and the better chances to succeed. So that's you, me, all of us. If we improve our diet, if we eat right, if we get out of the slump that we're in, we get out of the bad habits, and we review on a regular basis, because it is a regular basis, because obviously Christmas gets in the way, New Year's gets in the way, birthdays get in the way, holidays get in the way. That's totally normal. I'm not saying try to be super healthy in all of these occasions. It's very important that you actually live your life as well, and that you're not totally strict 365 days a year. Show me somebody who is in tip-top condition around the end of December, and I will show you somebody that has had a miserable Christmas, because it's not normal. You can't be low body fat percentage. You can't be in peak condition and still actually fully enjoy and immerse yourself in whatever festivities are in your life. So that's a very, very important balance. And no matter where you're coming from, no matter how much weight you have on, no matter how unfit you feel, everything that you do will add up. So it does make a difference. You can make a difference. It doesn't matter where you're starting from. If you feel overwhelmed and you feel disheartened, you need to keep it simple. And you need to go back to the basics and stop trying to confuse yourselves. So, very first thing is what to drink. Well, water. Water, 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 more water. What we do is we drink when we feel thirsty. Wrong. That is totally wrong. Thirst is one of the final indicators of dehydration. So you're meant to constantly be sipping away at water. I mean, we're very privileged to be living in the first world where we have access to drinking water all the time. You need to be availing of that to keep your weight and your body healthy. So be sipping. Don't be waiting to get thirsty. Don't be consuming all kind of dehydration drinks like coffee, like alcohol, come back to alcohol, tea, water is still the best. Fruit juices, yeah, but I mean, eating the fruit's better because of the fiber, and it makes it. It sounds complicated throwing around terminology like low glycemic index and stuff like that. And basically, all that means is the fiber in the fruit helps you reduce the insulin spike from the fruit sugar. So basically, means eating the fruit's better than eating and then drinking, you know, concentrated fruit juice. So that the juice of loads of fruit in a glass, like orange juice, for example. There's a lot of sugar in it. Yeah, it's fructose, it's fruit sugar, so it's not as bad as sucrose, your table sugar, but it's pretty much equivalent anyway. It's a simple single chain sugar. So you'd be better off eating the fruit. So again, just water, just drink water. That's the best thing for you. Constantly make sure you're drinking water throughout the day, sipping away, not waiting for yourself to be thirsty. How much water should you drink? I mean, everybody argues and disagrees, and generally, you know, 2 liters a day. When we were training and we were coming up to fights, we were told you had to drink a gallon a day, so 4 liters basically a day was what we were expected to be consuming. You'd be going to the toilet quite often, but you'd also be, with the amount of training that we were doing at the time, two sessions a day or 3 sessions a day or 4 sessions a day, you'd be sweating a lot of it out, so you actually needed to drink a lot. So yeah, generally 2, and if you can drink any more than 2 liters a day, you're absolutely flying. So from when you wake up in the morning, get your water. Don't wait to be thirsty. Now, back to, right, before I hit the alcohol, back to coffee. Right, coffee. So obviously, coffee is a stimulant, and we all overuse coffee, especially living in the climate that we live in here. Or if you're in any kind of a cold climate or a rainy climate, you're going to consume a lot of coffee. That's why there's going to be a lot of coffee shops in your area. Coffee shops are going to love your country or your district. So coffee is a stimulant, and you should go easy with it. Because, number one, it affects your sleep patterns. Obviously, if you're consuming too much coffee, you're not going to sleep right. Lack of sleep gives you hunger cravings, makes you your diet and your healthy eating and your eating times and your cravings go absolutely bananas. So that's very important as well. Also, you'll notice that when you drink coffee, you stave off the hunger. So you're not hungry for a while. But as soon as the caffeine wears off, bang, you're starving. So it's a false economy and you're going to overeat. So relax on the coffee. A coffee in the morning is great, or just before training, a coffee is super to kickstart your metabolism, to start your fat burning, and to get you motivated, to get your fired up to train. So caffeine is often used like that, but beware of overusing caffeine. So same with tea, not as bad, but I mean, it's not as necessary as water, and it still has dehydration properties. Now, alcohol, this is the one that you didn't want me to talk about. This is the one that seems to be very, very hard for everybody, especially my own fellow countrymen and countrywomen find it very hard not to be drinking and consuming that much alcohol. Okay, so just for the record, it's easy for me to talk about because I don't drink. I never really did. I got into competition at such an early age. All competitions were on a Saturday and a Sunday. All squad training, 4 competitions were on a Saturday or a Sunday. There was no point in going out drinking on a Friday night. There was no point in going out drinking on a Saturday night because your best training would be on a Saturday or a Sunday. So I never really got into the routine of drinking. So I don't really ever consume alcohol. And I know, so it's biased to me to be able to turn around and say, oh, you might relax on it. But really, you should. If you're going to be the best version of yourself, then you need to relax on alcohol. If you're drinking every night of the week, it's going to affect your performance. If you're putting in heavy sessions on a Saturday, heavy drinking sessions on a weekend, or a 3-day weekend, or 2-day weekend, or even 1-day weekend, it's very noticeable in your training. If you go on a bender on a Saturday night, even you're wondering why by the Wednesday, you're still not kind of feeling yourself, or you're still a little bit on a bit of a slump and you can't explain it why. And it's generally, it stays in your system that long. The dehydration can affect you. It can just draw out, especially as you get older. Again, that's not something else that you want to hear, but your body is not as well at processing the alcohol as when you were younger. So just, I'm not trying to say be a monk like me and don't drink, be a pioneer and abstain from alcohol. I'm not saying that at all. I mean, everything in moderation, but definitely alcohol in moderation. Culturally, it's a big issue for us. So just make sure that you do review it and you do think about it, you already know what's right for yourself. So just have a think about that. And remember, if you're, by the way, alcohol does deteriorate muscle fibers. So if you're there pumping away, trying to get bigger muscles or trying to do well, and then you're sculling back the pints on the weekend, it's going to be counterproductive. Same with your weight management, same with everything. So keep that in mind. Everything in moderation. Okay, so that's what you drink. Right, what the hell do you even eat? Well, again, I have a feeling that you know this already, but sometimes it's just helpful to hear someone say it so that you're not getting caught up in the confusion of what's popular and what's cool. So avoid that as much as possible. Cool isn't always the best. It's just the sales and the marketing at the current time. And every year and every season, there's something else that's new and something else that's cool. So what you want to do is stick with the basics. You want to stick with unprocessed food. So anything overly processed, anything processed, obviously is not going to be as good for you as anything natural. So natural vegetables, fruit, lean meats, cereals, lentils, beans, anything like that, complex carbs, even potatoes, which has been a staple of our diet for a long, long time. There's nothing wrong with potatoes, again, in moderation. Wholemeal pasta, wholemeal rice as a substitute for the white rice or white pasta. Bread, obviously relax on. Who doesn't feel bloated when they eat loads of white bread? Brown bread if you have to, but I mean, if you had a salad and you had lean meats or lean fish and beans and everything else, you have beans, I mean, as a source, but not necessarily baked beans, but just as a source of protein. There's tons of beans that will give you protein. Nuts, anything like that. It's keeping it simple. The way you prepare food is really important. If you're going to deep fat fry, stick away the deep fat fryer now. Just get rid of it. If you're going to use the deep fat fryer, or you're going to use the, even shallow fry isn't great. I mean, obviously you should stir fry, you should grill, you should bake. Even the microwave is not so bad. Depending on whether you believe microwaves are radiating the hell out of all of us or not. That's a whole different podcast. That's the conspiracy podcast coming soon. So yeah, keep it simple. Keep the process simple. Saturated fats aren't going to be good. So you know this. If it's dripping in oil, it's not good. Irish breakfasts, you know, it's not going to be great for you. The overconsumption of meat, obviously, it's not going to be great for you. And processed meat, obviously, is not going to be. As I said, I am convinced you know this already. But you're looking for the magic bullet, which is why you keep falling off the wagon. You motivate yourself, you get yourself going, you're doing it this time. Then by Tuesday or Wednesday, you've already fallen off the wagon. And it's to do with overcomplicating the process. You've heard of the acronym KISS. Have you heard that? Keep it simple, stupid. KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. K-I-S-S. And it's to remind ourselves that we always overcomplicate everything. We all do. So it's very important to go back to the basics, not waterlog your brain. Don't overwhelm yourself. Keep it really, really simple. Now, next thing is time. So that's food prep. I flew through that. I don't really need to stay on that much longer. You're going to save money by not going out to all these junk food places as well. So you should be preparing more food at home. You should be bringing lunch to work or lunch to training or something to eat to stave off the hunger pangs or the hunger pains, so that as soon as you finish training, if you can get something, a couple of pieces of fruit into your gob before you leave it too long, before you're passing that shop or that grocery, because you'd be doing okay there, before you start passing the supermarket and going into the baked goods section and smelling all those smells because you're starving after training, if you get something in, it buys you enough time to get home without purchasing stuff that you don't need, that's going to undo all the good work that you've done. So keeping yourself kind of full and knowing the moments to have your stuff, yogurts are handy for that, knowing the time to have your stuff ready and prepared helps eliminate any overconsumption of junk food and saves you a few quid as well. So make sure you prep your food. But the times are really, really important. So you should be having, what do we do right now? Well, when you're on a bad cycle, you have no breakfast, you have probably a decent sized lunch, you might go get yourself a builder's breakfast roll, and then in the evening you're starving and you get your pizza and chips at 11 o'clock at night, right before you go to sleep. and whatever dessert and whatever chocolate and whatever sugar drinks along the way as well. And that's the worst eating pattern. So what we're going to try to do is reverse it. You are meant to have your largest meal of the day as breakfast. That should be your largest meal of the day. Lunch should be the second largest meal of the day. And your dinner, your evening meal, should be the smallest meal of the day. So that's the way it's meant to work. So that when you're asleep, your body isn't trying to digest food. Most of your calories, your main calories, were consumed early in the day so that you had the whole day to burn those off. You had the whole day to use up all the calories so they weren't sitting in your digestive system late at night before you went to bed. If you can't quite stomach eating a huge breakfast in the morning, a lot of people say that to me, they say, I can't do that. And I can be a little bit like that myself, to be honest. So you can try to have a decent enough breakfast and make lunch your larger meal of the day and still try to consume less in the evening. And if you do consume a large lunch, you generally don't want to eat as much in the evening. But don't wait to be hungry. That's where you will make a big mistake. So you've had a big lunch, you're not going to be hungry for ages. But if you have a small supplementary meal before you get hungry, it stops you from becoming hungry, because it's when you're hungry. You know, if you think about it, your diet starts and stops as soon as you get hungry in a lot of cases. So you try not to get hungry in the evening. You try not to let that happen. So say you had a massive lunch at 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock and you weren't really hungry by 6 o'clock. You would definitely eat something at 6 o'clock, because if you wait to 8, 9 and then 10, you're starving at 10, you're going to overconsume and you're going to eat all the way up to bedtime. So what you try to do is you would have something at 6 o'clock earlier on, after having that large lunch, to try to stave off any kind of cravings later on in the evening. So if you can't manage a massive breakfast earlier, or breakfast as your largest meal, have it as much as you can and eat a large lunch. Cheating, by the way, say if you were to fall off the wagon a little bit, it would be better that you did it earlier on in the day than later in the evening. So if you were going to have chips or pizza or whatever your particular craving or cheat meal is, if you were to have that earlier in the day, you have better chances of it not fluctuating your weight all over the place than if you have it in the evening, because you have more opportunity to burn it off. So meals earlier in the day should be where most of your calories are consumed. I'm convinced we all have this information in us already. I'm convinced that we're just consumers. We get caught up in misinformation. We get caught up in fads. We get really bad cravings. We have the opportunity to buy junk food cheaper than ever, more readily available than ever. But I'm convinced that we all already know. Besides, you don't have to have a degree in nutrition. I'm convinced that everybody already knows what you should be eating and what you shouldn't be eating, and what negatively affects your body and what positively affects your body, that you feel good about things. I'm convinced of that. It's already in you. You can do it. If you've been struggling with your weight, if you've been struggling with recovery or joint stiffness or any ailments to do with training or not getting the most benefits from your training or not building the muscle that you wanted to do, visit your diet. Visit your sleep patterns as well, but 100% eat your way to success. Look at your diet structure. Figure that out first. Make it really, really simple. You can do it, and every single meal does count. So you might say to yourself, you know, I was healthy for breakfast, I was healthy for lunch, you know, I screwed up dinner, so now there's no point for the rest of the week. There is a point. You did well for the breakfast, you did well for the lunch. So that's one screw up. Go back to it. Everything counts. It's very easy. We've all got into the pattern of saying, oh, well, you know, I've already had a chocolate bar in between breakfast and lunch, whatever that time is called. The Levinses, I think the Hobbits call it. You've already had a chocolate bar, so you go, I may as well just give up then for the rest of the day. No, every meal, every positive decision, unfortunately, it is a process that's made every day. Every time you decide what to eat, it's a decision, good or bad. Do you go more often with good, or do you go off more often with bad? This is a long-term thing. It's not a daily thing. I know I've used the word diet all the time, and lots of people hate diet. And they'll be saying to me, they don't believe in diets and diets are bad. It's healthy eating plans. Yeah, obviously, healthy eating plans. I'm just saying diet because it's the handiest word to use. But it's the same thing. A consistent, healthy eating, lifelong program. That's exactly what you need to be able to make it sustainable. So if you're struggling and you're going, I haven't a breeze where to start, there's three simple points. I'm going to leave you with these three points. If all you do is this, you're going to be definitely on the bandwagon, and don't fall off the bandwagon. And you can add more on and make it a little bit stricter and more complicated as you go on. But the three that you need are this. Number one, drink loads of water. Drink plenty of water. Non-stop sipping water throughout the day. You're not consuming enough water. Make sure. We're predominantly made of water. Make sure you're consuming more water. So that's number one. And number two is try to eat your larger meals earlier in the day. Consume most of your calories earlier in the day, not later in the day. Your larger meals earlier in the day to give your body the chances to burn it off later on. That's even besides what you eat. Don't worry about that yet. Just eat most of your calories earlier in the day. You can worry about that the next stage. We're doing three steps. Water, eat larger meals earlier on, smaller meals in the evening. Number three, don't eat 4 hours before going to bed. It can be 5 or 6 hours if you're feeling mentally and physically strong enough and emotionally ready and motivated to do it. Leave it longer time before going to bed. But definitely not 4 hours before going to bed. Get rid of late night eating. If you just go with those three points, will I say them again? Right, water, loads of water, eat larger meals earlier on in the day, and don't eat 4 hours before going to bed. Just those three are going to start helping you to clean up your diet. Then you can start looking at portion size throughout all your meals. And then you can start being a little bit stricter with what you eat and consuming better calories and more unprocessed stuff and cutting out all salt altogether and all sugar altogether and adding it on once you have that initial basic framework. Now that gives you the opportunity to start off now, so you don't have to be procrastinating. You don't have to be making excuses. You definitely can do it. And I would absolutely love to hear how you're getting on. So send me a message anytime and I'd love to hear it. And make sure you click like, you subscribe, or you comment. We'd love to hear your feedback. Thank you for listening. I'm Roundhouse Rob, the Success Sensei. Life is a fight you can win and enjoy. Bowing out.
This has been the Success Sensei, fighting the winning fight. So add us, subscribe, like, and comment. Keep those hands up and keep moving forward.